All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the Old Testament book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. How many of you have arthritis? Raise your hand. All right. Is your arthritis bothering you tonight? Oh, I can't even hardly wear my ring. It hurts so bad. Do I? Yeah, right. Somebody write that down. John didn't say anything. Now, what'd you say, Marjorie?
But I heard it's supposed to rain.
Rain. Is that what's doing it? Yeah. Oh, man. It just aches. It just hurts. All right, that's enough sarcasm, all right? Oh, man, just open the floodgate there. Let me go get a target. I'll get a target, put it right here on my chest for you guys, all right? What was that? That's true. See, John's sick. Yeah, he's sick. He's having surgery. He's sick. All right, let's get serious, okay? All right, John, behave. Let's begin reading in verse 8. I'll just go ahead and tell you right now, and we'll speak tonight on financing the church. Financing the church. You got your Bible with you? You got your Bible tonight? And I'll be patient, but we're going to start back in Genesis, and we're going to go all the way through the millennium in the Bible. All right? Tonight, yes. Lord willing. And I'm going to show you a consistent theme that runs all the way through the Bible that has to do with financing God's work. All right? So let's begin right here in verse 8 of chapter 3, Malachi. Brother Rossi says the Italian prophet Malachi. Malachi. All right, so Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer is, in tithes and offerings. Several years ago, we had a family here, and Bill and Faye Norman. You remember them? Some of you do. Wonderful people. And Bill retired and came in regularly to help us with the church finances and several things. He passed away suddenly of a heart attack and went to heaven, but a wonderful man. And we used to have him come up pray all the time and for the offerings, and he would pray and say, Lord, bless tonight as we give your tithes and our offerings. Do you remember that? And I always thought that was so good. I always just reveled in that. Every time he said that, I yes, yes, yes. God's tithes and our offerings. All right, so verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. All right, let's pray. And then we're going to look at the financing of the church. I've been preaching to you, teaching you about the church for several months now. And I want to show you this principle. We're going to start all the way back in the beginning of the Bible with Abraham, and we're going to work our way all the way through the Bible to the millennium. And I'm going to show you a consistent theme that runs all the way through the scripture on the matter of the financing of the church. All right, let's pray real quick. Our Father, we ask now your blessings upon us. Just want to thank you so much for your word. And I pray your blessings upon our lesson tonight. I pray that you will just guide and help me to say what I need to say and to explain this clearly. And Father, may we all learn, may we see this principle as it runs through the Bible. And just open our understanding, open our eyes to see this truth. And Lord, may it strengthen our resolve and our faith to learn what we're about to learn. So bless us now, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of financing the church. When the tithes are mentioned in the Bible, sometimes God refers to the tithe as a tenth. Sometimes he calls it a tenth. And if you will look up the word tithe in the dictionary, you will discover that that's what the word means. It simply means a tenth. However, God sometimes in the Bible calls the tithe the first fruits. Sometimes he will refer to the tithe as the first fruits. And occasionally, there are a few times in the scriptures where the Holy Spirit will refer to the tithe simply as the firstlings, the firstlings. And as you read through the scripture, it is clear and it's very obvious that God has used the tithe as the method of financing his work. And he has also used the tithe all the way through the scripture as a way of worshiping him really since the beginning. If you remember all the way back in the Garden of Eden, Cain and Abel brought the first fruits. They brought the firstlings. In Abel's case, he brought the firstling of his flock, and God accepted his offering. He brought a tithe, the firstling of his flock. And then, of course, we know Cain brought the first fruits of his garden, and God rejected that. There was no blood in the work of his own hands, and so that was rejected. But what we see as you read the scripture, it becomes clear and it becomes obvious, and that's what I hope to show you tonight, that God has all along used the tithe as a method or as the method of financing his work, but also as a way of worshiping him. Now, I want us to look at the Bible, at the scriptures as a whole. I want us to begin with Genesis, with Abraham, and then just work our way through the Bible. And I want to divide the life of Israel into eight sections tonight, starting with Abraham and the patriarchal period, and then going all the way through the millennium and the New Jerusalem. So you got your Bible? All right. So I'll be patient. I'll wait on you. But we're going to look at several verses tonight through the Bible. And I need you to follow me and look these verses up. I'll be patient, but I want you to see it and follow along. It'll help you tremendously if you will follow along. And what I want you to see is that there is something that each of these different periods or different ages in Israel's past, there's something that they all have in common. And I'm going to show you that common thread tonight. So let's begin with the patriarchal period. Go back in your Bible to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. Now, when I say patriarchal, I am speaking of back in the days when God dealt with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. These are the patriarchs, all right? That's what God calls them, the patriarchs. They are the fathers, so to speak, of Israel. And so that's why they're called the patriarchs, the patriarchal period, going back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. All right, so let's, and there's several places I could have you turn, this one's very obvious, so I'm going to start here. So look at chapter 28 in the book of Genesis and verse 17. All right, let's go back and get 16. It says, "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." So this is where he had the dream. Remember that? He saw Jacob's ladder. And in verse 17, it says, "And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel." Beth, notice, hyphen L. Beth means the house of, and El is God. El is God in Hebrew. Even today, El is God in Hebrew. It has not changed. All right? The last time we went to Israel, we flew on El Al, E-L-A-L, God's airline. You're pretty safe when you're on God's airline. You know what I'm saying? All right. So notice verse 19. "And he called the name of that place Bethel," which means the house of God. All right. Look at verse 22. It says, "And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the," what? Tenth. What is that? That's the tithe. Now, where did Jacob tithe? In Bethel, at the house of God. Nod your heads. You with me on that? All right, that is not deep. All right, so notice that Jacob was at the house of God. Three times God's house was mentioned here in this story. Jacob said, "This is the house of God." And then he said, "I'm going to call this place Bethel," which means the house of God. And then he said, "This stone shall be God's house." And you will notice that in the patriarchal period, you will notice that he brought tithes to the house of God. All right, very simple. Everybody got that? All right. Now, secondly, let's look at Israel during the wilderness journey. You remember that when Genesis closes, the 12 tribes of Jacob are in Egypt. They were in Egypt. And when the book of Exodus begins, you'll remember that God called Moses and he told Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt and lead them to the land of promise, to the land of Israel, to the land of Canaan. And God led them across the Red Sea. They left Egypt and they went down to the Red Sea, and God paved the way, opened the way, and they marched across the Red Sea on dry ground. And then when they got on the other side, they wandered in the wilderness. Now, you also remember that they spent 40 years wandering around in that wilderness. 40 years. Now, go to the next book. Go to the book of Exodus, chapter 23. The next book, Exodus 23. Exodus 23, and I want to read verse 19. Exodus 23, verse 19. And here it says, "The first of the first fruits of thy land shalt thou bring into the house of the Lord thy God." All right, so here they are now in the wilderness, and God is giving Moses the law. And in the law, God said in that 19th verse that the first of the first fruits of thy land shalt thou bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Look at chapter 28, chapter 28 and verse 22. All right, and let's see. Do what? Who are you talking to, Tom? Oh, him, okay. All right, quit talking to yourself. All right, let's see. That's not the right verse. 34, 26, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong verse. 34, 26. Yes, that's the right verse. Verse 26, 34, 26. It says, "The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk." But notice, two times here in this passage, two times, we are told that they were to bring the firstlings, the first fruits, the tithe to the house of the Lord. The Jews had started their journey towards the promised land, and right after entering into the wilderness, God called Moses up on Mount Sinai and gave him the law. And for the second time, the house of God is mentioned as the place where the tithes were to be brought. Now, does everybody see that? Okay, so in the patriarchal period, the tithe was brought to the house of God. In the wilderness, the tithe was to be brought to the house of God. And if you will remember, when God told Moses to, when he gave him the law and told him to build a tabernacle, that place, or that was the place where God would tabernacle among his people, thus it was called the tabernacle, and he would dwell amongst them. And that tabernacle was called the house of God. And so when they were told to bring their tithes, in these two verses that I just read for you, when they were told to bring their tithes into the house of God, what God meant was you bring the tithes to the tabernacle, because the tabernacle was the house of God. All right, number three, let's go over to the book of Deuteronomy. So just keep going on over in your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. All right, now when you've got chapter 12, look up here. All right, everybody got it? All right, we looked at the patriarchal period. Then we looked at them in the wilderness. All right, but now we're going, I know we're in Deuteronomy, but just be patient. But now, number three, we're going to look at the tithe at Israel during the time of the judges. All right, now you remember that when they left the wilderness and came into the land, and then they got established in the land, God appointed judges over the tribes to mete out justice. Okay? So they had a time where judges from each, from the different tribes, judges ruled over the people. Now look at Deuteronomy 12 and verse 10. And here's what God says. Now you see why I wanted you to look up and explain. But when ye go over Jordan, so when they crossed into the land, okay? So when they crossed into the land, that's when the judges were set up. So that's why I said what I did a moment ago. And so now here is Moses giving them the law, and God says to him, now look, when you get over into the land under the period of the judges, and you dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your, what's the next word? Tithes and, excuse me, the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. So in the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites were getting ready to go into the promised land. And God was giving them instructions here on what they were to do once they settled in the land. And notice that he said, there shall be a place. When you get over there, then you're going to build me a place. There shall be a place where you are to bring the tithe. Now, when they got over there and built that place would be the house of God. All right? Number four, let's look at the time of the kings. Now, just go ahead and go on over to 2 Kings chapter 12 while I introduce this period to you. All right, so you'll remember that the children of Israel did get into the promised land, and you will remember that they had judges over them, and the last of the judges was a fellow by the name of Samuel. And Samuel was also a prophet. He was not only a judge, but he was also a prophet. And so the people came to Samuel and they said, we want a king to rule over us. We want to be like all the other nations. So we want you to get us a king. Now, up to this point, they had been a theocracy. A theocracy means ruled, theos, I can't say it, but I know I'm thinking it, but I can't say it. Ocratic. All right, so theocratic. Okay, ruled by God. And so they had been ruled by God. But when they got in the land and they got comfortable, and then they didn't do what they were supposed to do by getting rid of the Canaanites. And so here they were influenced by false religion, and they got away from the Lord. And when they did, they decided, we don't want God ruling over us. We want a king so that a king can tell us what, how to do and what to do. And so Samuel went to God and said, Lord, they want a king. And so God said, no, I'm their king. And so Samuel said, no, God said, no, he's your king. Well, we don't want God ruling over us. So Samuel went back to God, and then God said, all right, I'll tell you what, Samuel, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me, that I should rule over them. And so God gave them a king. And you'll remember their first king was Saul, and he was a man after their own heart. He was a man just like the people, selfish, carnal, fleshly, greedy. He was just like them. And so then he stepped over the bounds into the priesthood, and God removed him, and David became the king. And David was a man after God's own heart, all right? So then David died, and then Solomon died, and his two boys split the kingdom, and it was just disaster from then on. All right, but look at during the period of the king, 2 Kings chapter 12, and look at verse 4. It says, and Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passes the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord. So we saw it in the patriarchal period, in the wilderness period, in the judges period, and now in the Old Testament period of the kings. The money, the tithe, was brought into the house of the Lord. Now, notice that change of wording that is in this fourth verse. In the first four eras, the tithes were brought into the house of God. But during the period of the kings, the tithes were brought into the house of the Lord. And notice repeatedly it says that they were to bring the tithes. They were not just to send them. They were to physically bring them to the house of the Lord. All right, so patriarchal, wilderness, judges, period of the kings. All right, so now let's go to the fifth era. The fifth era that I want to mention was during the time of the rebuilding of the temple. Now this takes us into the captivity when the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC. And they came and destroyed Jerusalem. They took 10,000, the rabbis say, that's what they report, that they carried 10,000 young people back to Babylon, of which Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were a part, all right? And Ezekiel and a bunch of them, all right? So then the Medes and the Persians came and they conquered the Babylonians, all right? You remember in your history? We learned all this a couple of years ago. All right, so the Babylonians, then the Medes and the Persians conquered the Babylonians, and they controlled Jerusalem. And when the Medes and the Persians were running the show, God spoke to Nehemiah about coming back and building the temple. So now turn to Nehemiah chapter 10. So just keep going on over in your Bible. Nehemiah chapter 10. All right, so now they've come back. Nehemiah has come back, and they have rebuilt Jerusalem. Look at Nehemiah 10 and verse 38. It says, and, wait, you there? All right, 38. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites. When the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers, into the treasure house. All right, look at chapter 13, Nehemiah 13 and verse 10. Verse 10, he said, and I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled, every one to his field. Now, why did they go to work in the fields? Because people weren't tithing. So they had to go work their fields to eat. All right? People weren't tithing. Verse 11. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? See that? So here we are back in the patriarchal period, and Jacob tithed at the house of God. In the wilderness, Moses said, bring your tithe to the house of God. In the period of the judges, they brought their tithe to the house of God. In the period of the kings, they brought their tithe to the house of God. And now here we are in the era of the captivity and coming back to rebuild the temple during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. And God said that you bring your tithe to the house of God. Folks, this was God's message. This was God's word. This is what they did. And they came back from captivity, and God was instructing them about what to do with the money that was coming into the treasury. Now, the Levites were the preachers, or those who worked at God's house. And they were having to work in the fields in order to eat, in order to make a living. Now, why do you suppose that was? Well, that was because the tithes were that were coming in were not sufficient enough to pay them enough to live on. And Nehemiah threw a fit in this chapter. He threw a fit, and he said that the house of God was forsaken because the folks wouldn't tithe. But notice, here's the point. God told them to bring the tithe into the house of God. All right? Number 6, that leads us to Malachi, where I just read to you from the 3rd chapter. And the 6th period is what I'm going to call the post-rebuilding days. And this period was about 400 years before the Lord Jesus came in Bethlehem's manger. Malachi, and Malachi chapter 3, what we read a little while ago, Malachi was the last prophet. And after Malachi, there was 400 years of silence from God. All right? So if you go to the end of your Old Testament, all right, I am holding the last page of my Old Testament. And now I'm holding the first page of my New Testament. And there was 400 years in between the last page and the first page. The last page of the Old Testament, first page of the New Testament. 400-year period. It is called the 400 silent years. Why do they call it silent? Well, because God did not speak for 400 years to anybody. No prophet. None. Can you imagine that? No prophet. But notice that Malachi, the last prophet, notice God's message through Malachi was again, bring the tithe to the house of God. Notice that. All right? Now, I got to hurry. Number seven, the seventh era is the New Testament era. All right? So you get to Malachi, you flip the page, you're in Matthew, right? Okay? So the seventh era is the New Testament era. Now, look at me. I'm going to skip this one for right now. We're going to come back to it in a minute. I'm going to skip the New Testament era, and I'm going to jump right to number eight, which is the millennium. The millennium. All right? So go back to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44. Ezekiel. Okay, so number seven is the New Testament age, the New Testament era, if you will. Number eight, the millennium. So I've skipped number seven, the church. We're going to go back to it in a minute, the New Testament. I've skipped it for right now, but I'm, all right, look here. I'm losing some of you. Don't lose me now. Watch. Patriarch. Wilderness, we're just coming through the Bible. We're just making our way through the Bible. And what has been consistent, it doesn't matter what period of time you're talking about, we have seen from the patriarchal period all the way to Malachi, and I'm going to show you in the church, it's to be brought to the house of God as well. But in every one of those periods, the tithe was to be brought to the house of God. Never changes. All right, so now we're at Malachi. We're going to skip the church age. We're at least 2,000 years. We're going to skip. And we're going 2,000 plus 7, the tribulation, to the millennium. And that's described in Ezekiel 44. Everybody with me now? All right, Ezekiel 44. Look at verse 30. Ezekiel 44, verse 30. And the first, and this is talking about the millennium now, and he says, and the first of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations, shall be the priest. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough. Now, that doesn't mean money. All right? That's your bread dough. That he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. All right? So bring the firstling of what you have. All right? Look at chapter 48. And verse 10. And let's just jump down into the middle of the verse. It says, go all the way down almost to the end. And it says, and the sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the midst thereof. It shall be for the priest that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. All right, so the last part of Ezekiel deals with the rebuilding of the temple or of the house of God in the millennium during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And God says that during that millennial period, we will bring tithes in the millennium to the priest. And notice that the priest will be at the sanctuary of the house of God. All right? So, doesn't matter whether you're talking about the patriarchal period, the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, the period of the judges, the time of the kings, the time of Ezra and Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the temple, or those latter days, 400 years before Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about then or whether you're talking about at least 1,007 years from tonight. Should the rapture happen and we go into the millennium. God says that during the millennium, we will bring our tithe to the sanctuary for the priest. Nod your head. You with me? All right. Now, what we have found is that in every era, they brought the tithes to whatever was called the house of God at that time. First, it was an altar. Then it was a place called Bethel, or the house of God. And then it was the tent of the meeting, the tabernacle. Then it was the temple when the tabernacle was done away. It was the temple when Solomon built the temple. During the millennium, it will be called the sanctuary, according to Ezekiel, the sanctuary of the house of God. Now, let me ask you a really important question here. Do you think that God would require his people in all seven of these eras to bring their tithe to his house, but then change his mind in the New Testament era? Of course not. Let me remind you that God said, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Let me remind you that the New Testament says of God, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The author of the book of Hebrews said, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And folks, I submit to you, if God wanted the patriarchs and Moses and Joshua and the judges and the kings and the exiles and Nehemiah and Ezra and the post-exile Jews and even his people during the millennium to come to bring their tithes to the house of God, doesn't it stand to reason that he would want us in the New Testament church era to bring our tithes to the house of God? Of course it does. All right, quickly. Matthew 23. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Matthew 23. We'll go back to number 7. Go back to the New Testament era. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Look at Matthew 23. And let me read unto you, read for you verse 23. Here is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have, and not to leave the other undone. This is the only place in all the Bible, in all the Gospels, where the Lord Jesus spoke on the subject of tithing. This is it. This is it. But Jesus did not have to speak on something twice to make it true, did he? No, once was enough. And notice what he said here. He said that tithing was not as important in the grand scheme of things. It is not as important as mercy or as judgment or as faith. But he said, we still ought to do it. We still ought to tithe. In other words, tithing, listen to me now, tithing is a New Testament principle. Jesus said so. Now, let's go to number 7 real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Or verse 14, I'm sorry. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But If I tarry long, I've written these things to you. If I tarry long, I've written this book for you, so you'll read it. Why? That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the what? House of God. The house of God. What title does the Apostle Paul give to the New Testament church? The house of God. All right, real quickly, one more verse. Go to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 16, 1. Everybody got it? All right, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order in the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, what day is that? Sunday. Sunday's first day of the week. Yes, sir. All right, what do we do on Sunday? Oh, that's right. We go to the house of God, don't we? Oh, I forgot. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You see, the house of God today is the church house. The church is a called out assembly. When God's people meet on the Lord's day, on the first day of the week, that is a church. Anywhere that a called out assembly meets, that is the house of God. And throughout history, God always commanded his people to bring the tithes to the house of God. We go to church on the first day of the week, and the church becomes the vehicle to distribute the tithes of the people to take care of the work of God. Just like the people brought their tithes to the temple and the Levites were paid a living, and just like during the millennium when folks will bring their tithe to the millennial temple to provide for the priests who will serve, we are to tithe in the house of God today in the New Testament era. You see, folks, we got to pay the electric bill. And we got to pay the salaries of the pastors and the guys that mow the grass and the guys that clean the buildings and the secretaries. I mean, the church has to pay the folks that work here. And why? Well, so we can pay our mortgages and feed our families. We have missionaries, and we got to pay. They're doing the work of the Lord. And we need to understand the tithe is the Lord's. Malachi 3:10 said so. The tithe is the Lord's. We need to understand that one-tenth of our income is already God's. And if we do not put it in the offering at the church, at the house of the Lord, we're robbing God. All right, I'm going to say something. Listen now. God is not going to allow you to live on more than 90% of your income. A tenth of it belongs to him. A tenth of it belongs to him. You'll notice in verse 2, 1 Corinthians 16, this teaches proportional giving. Proportional giving. If you make $1 million a month, $100,000 a month ought to be given to the house of God. Hey, I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. Don't look at me like that. You know it's true. It's what God said. You have no right to divide it up and designate where you want God's money to go. Bring it to the house of God. It's God's. You are to give it in to the regular offering of the church. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving an offering. Matter of fact, a lot of people do. But it ought to be over and above your tithe. Malachi mentioned tithes, and then he mentioned offerings. Tithe, one-tenth. Offering, anything that is above one-tenth. And we should not designate our tithe. The tithe is the Lord's, and it goes to the house of God. Now, I'll tell you this, and I'll quit. I learned to tithe when I was about in the sixth grade. I had a paper route. Duke Marino came, knocked on my door one evening, and he said, "I've got to give up the paper route. We're moving. Do you want to take over the paper route?" And I said, "Sure." We lived in a big subdivision. And I said, "Sure, I'll do it." So I took over the paper route. First day, I went down, first time I went down every 2 weeks, had to go down and meet the guy from the Daily Mail in Charleston, and I would give him the money I collected, and he would give me my cut, always in cash. And he would count it up. And I made $40. $40. And I went home, I was counting my money as I went home. I mean, I was counting it out. And I walked in the door, and Mom said, "How much did you get?" And I said, $40. She went, "Wow." And then she got that look in her eye, and she said, "You know, four of that's not yours." I said, "Oh, no." I said, "It's mine." She said, "Oh, no, four of that's not yours." I said, "Well, then whose is it?" She said, "It's God's." And I said, "No, it's not." And she said, "Oh, yes, it is." And I said, "Well, let me tell you something. God didn't deliver a one of those papers. I did." And she pulled out that Bible and turned to Malachi 3. And she laid that Bible down and she said, "No, one-tenth of that is God's. It's the tithe." And I said, "Mom, God didn't deliver these newspapers. I delivered them." And she said, "Yes, but while you were delivering those papers, you were breathing God's air and you were enjoying God's sunshine and you've been eating God's food." And she said, "Now you don't want to be stealing God's money, do you?" All right. I put the rest in my pocket and walked away. And she said, "Oh, no, young man, that's not how it works. You got to go to church Sunday and put that in the offering plate." And my mother taught me how to tithe when I was in the sixth grade. The tithe is the Lord's. You bring it to the house of God. And the New Testament church is God's house. Amen.